Madam President, thank you. Taking the floor for the first time under your presidency, the Swiss delegation would like to congratulate you on assuming this important function and assure you of its full support. We welcome the plan that you have outlined for the Finnish CD presidency, notably the organization of a number of thematic meetings. This includes our meeting today on nuclear risk reduction, and we thank the panelists for their important contributions. Madam President, nuclear risk reduction has always been central to arms control, nuclear disarmament and non-proliferation, but has become increasingly important in the current international security arena. There are a number of recent worrisome developments, including in the context of the Russian aggression against Ukraine, that have increased the risk level. In connection with the current international situation, let me emphasize three general points based on our position that the best way to reduce nuclear risk is to maintain and strengthen existing arms control and disarmament frameworks and ensure their effectiveness. First, the importance of maintaining and strengthening the NPT as the cornerstone of the global disarmament and non-proliferation regime. Preserving the NPT is of great importance for reducing nuclear risk. We must ensure its continued success and address issues related to its full implementation, as well as the shortcomings of the NPT cycle. Second, the return to the proper and full implementation of the New START Treaty is of central importance. The suspension of this treaty by one of its parties is of great concern, not only because verified limits are important, but also because the treaty contains provisions and infrastructures that are eminently important for risk reduction. Efforts have to be redoubled towards a successor agreement before this last remaining bilateral agreement expires in 2026. Third, I would like to stress the importance that the bilateral US-Russian dialogue on strategic stability is resumed. Likewise, we hope that the P5 discussions on nuclear risk reduction intensify, will gradually elevate to the appropriate political level, become more focused, and lead to concrete outcomes. One area where we would like to see movement is crisis communications and hotlines, the importance of which has been highlighted in recent weeks and months. In addition, we hope that the discussions will also cover new and enhanced risks due to emerging technologies. Madam President, Switzerland has been actively engaged in nuclear risk reduction for several years and, in different settings. A major focus of our work was the 10th Review Conference on the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, where we tabled, with the Stockholm Initiative and other states, a risk reduction package that was ultimately endorsed by 30 states from all regions of the world. Given the very constructive discussions on this topic at the REFCON, we regret that it was not possible to agree on the outcome document. Nevertheless, the deliberations last August highlighted a shared sense of urgency and importance of reducing nuclear risks. They also showed potential for further cooperation between nuclear weapon states and non-nuclear weapon states on this matter, including in appropriate UNGA-mandated forums and mechanisms, as outlined by Ambassador Vinanen in his presentation earlier today. In addition, the deliberations also demonstrated that there is considerable interest in how risk reduction can advance disarmament rather than merely managing the status quo. After the REFCON, risk reduction must remain a priority. Further efforts and more concrete results are needed. In terms of how to move forward, we see a number of possible processes and ways. The following principles could guide us in discussions on how to go ahead. First, wherever and however we want to move forward, it's important to ensure the broadest possible support. The primary responsibility lies with the nuclear weapon states and the other states that possess nuclear weapons. But the non-nuclear weapon states also have a key role to play. After all, nuclear risk reduction is in our shared interest given the global consequences of the use of nuclear weapons. It is also important to involve our colleagues from academia and think tanks, where some of the foundational work on this issue has been done. Second, It is of great importance to approach the issue in a way that comprehensively captures the various risks associated with nuclear weapons. This would mean looking at the risks of intentional use of nuclear weapons, whether as a result of a deliberate attack, miscalculation, or misunderstanding, but also the risk of accidental and unauthorized use of nuclear weapons that could be caused by technical failure or human error. A comprehensive approach is also necessary because of the humanitarian consequences of the nuclear detonation, which would be devastating, affect not only the immediate victims and environment, but would also have long-lasting effects on future generations. Third, we believe it's important to structure the discussion in a way that allows for focused work. The Stockholm Initiative has produced in its paper and has proposed to address, first, declaratory acts and dialogue, second, practical measures to address specific risks, and third, process, the way forward. We think this is still a good approach to structure multilateral discussions. And the practical measures could be broken down in a number of subcategories, as the CEND initiative has done. For instance, political doctrinal measures, strategic measures, operational measures, crisis and conflict prevention, and management. Madam President, before concluding, I would like to underline that the Conference on Disarmament could play a critical role in advancing work on this issue and lay the groundwork for both concrete measures or contributions to an international normative framework to reduce nuclear risks. The issue of nuclear risk reduction falls squarely under CD Agenda Item 2 on preventing nuclear war. The CD comprises all of the key stakeholders and possesses the required expertise to address this issue. But to be in a position to contribute effectively to addressing such an issue, the CD would need to adopt a more flexible approach to its work, as many delegations have called for. In other words, the CD would need to be ready to elaborate instruments other than legally binding ones, as its rules of procedures permit and provide for, and not hold progress in one area hostage to forward movement in others. Thank you very much for your attention.